So yeah, keep talking about ball wipes, guys. Keep it
ball
going.
Okay. All right. I said fresh balls, not ball wipes.
I'm so okay. Balls.
Get that.
Anyway.
New ball anyway. Spell.
Balls.
Balls. Balls.
Hairy balls. Or freshly shorn balls. Your choice. Hey, I'm not going to say which one's right or wrong.
As I learned the other night, you are allowed to say the word taint on CBS, and you are actually allowed to chant it on CBS.
Well, as long as you're saying taint no thing. Taint no thing. Oh.
No, no. Rob Riggle and a delightful drag queen and another comedian just stood there and chanted taint.
On for Daily what Show? Purpose? What?
On just after, to say it? On After Midnight.
Oh, okay.
Is ended up being in a response to one of the games they were playing, and somebody was like, I don't know if we could say that. And they just immediately started chanting, taint, 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 taint.
If they don't let it on, they're not going to have much show to show.
Pretty much.
I'm kind of bored with most new things on like streaming. So I've been rewatching the C Team. And I forgot how fucking funny Jerry Holkins is. He is a bananas DM. I would tell you about the one thing, but I think I'm going to use it next time I run a game. I'm going to torture you guys with my version of what he was doing. But
cool.
Yeah, just think your whole party is having a bad trip.
Sweet.
That's the adventure. So nothing you do has to make sense. None of it has to lead anywhere. They just have to keep moving forward and surviving. That seems like an Asmodundek dungeon if I ever heard one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Raymond, you impress me because you've been DMing for, I don't know what, like a million years. And
me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you are not content to sit on your laurels and just do the same shit you've always done. You're always looking for some new, exciting way to
torture you.
Well, to torture us, to do something that you haven't done before because you don't want to be bored. But you don't want us to be bored at the same time. So it's you're like always striving and pushing the boundaries of what an adventure can even be. It's really cool.
I respect it. In my defense, they don't always work. I don't know if that's defense or what. Caveat.
Not your defense at all.
It's a caveat to that statement. It doesn't always work. But it's usually fun.
I feel like we kind of came into Asmos with that as an understanding that there was going to be shit that didn't work, and it would happen, and we'd move on.
That's the best part about not having like a 5-year long campaign of the same characters. If you don't like it, it'll switch up next session.
Yeah, yeah. Roll through this, see how it works, learn something for next time. Yeah.
Sounded like you were going to make reference to Hugh Grant.
No.
Well, I mean,
who?
Ray. I thought Ray was going the route of referencing Hugh Grant as a level that was unsuccessful or it didn't work.
Oh, no.
It was successful for me, not for you guys.
Yeah. That's fair. Just because we're thick as gits, doesn't mean
anything. I very much enjoyed it. Sometimes I'm the audience.
Yeah. I think the one that I would most likely want to revisit or try again is the one where you guys were in the rooms and you went through the doors and it didn't always lead to the room next door.
The second floor.
Was that the second floor?
Yeah. Did people not find that enjoyable?
No, I
no, think he just wants to do it again, I think.
I'd want to expand on it, you know, maybe go a little deeper or a little more complex, and now that you know the trick, throw some curveballs in there.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
I fucking loved that floor.
Yeah, it was just a challenge because that's when every time we left a floor, you went up a level.
Yeah.
So I had to think of a reason why you would spend more than, you know, the length of time it takes to run down a hallway to be in this dungeon. So I trapped you there. Yeah, that was honestly all it was. Like, well, let's let them earn third level.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm also happy to see another session with the Diablo rules. Like, I think that worked, and I think we could do some cool stuff with it.
I think we need to consciously think how to expand the caster side of that play style.
I agree.
It absolutely worked for Melee.
Right.
Melee got to just unload and deal damage, which meant at lower levels you could fight shit like beholders.
Yes,
you can deal out enough damage that you can maybe live long enough to survive their saving throws that you're going to have to roll at one after another. But the casters need some kind of like.
The simplest
solution, rapid fire shit kind of stuff going on.
You could rapid fire the cantrips and give them something similar to the attacks that
you cast a spell and you can always add a cantrip on it.
Well, and I think
by the end we were doing some stuff like that. We were doing a spell and an action. So there was some effort there, but it was more me trying to compensate because I realized Chad would like do one attack and then Dylan would come in bear form, do 60 points of damage, and then Jeff would follow up with another 60 points of damage and the thing is dead. So yeah, not everybody's getting to play here. Let me see what I can do.
Well, and did we talk about the thing that I had kind of did we talk about the RP stuff that I have been working on air?
I kind of jumped off as well. Yeah, I forgot. From you. Yeah.
So
we've mentioned it on air, so don't spoil anything. But
yeah, I've been kind of revisiting what we did there as a way to kind of feed into that, and I have some ideas that I am probably going to incorporate at some point in a future thing, not in the current one because I've got my hands full in this one. But
as much as I hate to mention it, I think a possible solution would be going the Gandalf route where, yeah, you're a wizard, but it's kind of like the monk. Your spells add on to your melee. So when you strike, you add flame and thunder to it, kind of thing.
I mean, I think that works for like
paladins. Some, but you know, wizard isn't necessarily. I think the characters need to be built for that system too.
If you're going to go and do something like that, then you just need to make the stat for the attacks the primary stat for whatever the class is.
Right.
Yeah. If you're tagging with a sword, you're tagging with your intelligence. Yeah, if you're attacking as a warlock or whatever, it's charisma. Yeah, I get you. Yeah. That way they aren't hamstrung by the fact that they can't swing a sword as good as someone else. Yeah.
It does mean that some choices that you make in some classes are going to be less meaningful than others. But it, I think it's the greatest way for you to get balance across the board.
Yeah, I agree. And this is, you know, coming at it from the expectation that this is going to be a more combat-heavy role-playing system.
Yeah, and you're fighting against an endless parade of meat running at you.
Right.
You know, you're not not a lot of role-playing, mostly. I mean, there was some role-playing in that because you guys had to think through some things, but a lot of it was just, okay, where's the next thing we got to sneak up on or bash or what? So
I'm excited.
I'm glad you guys liked it. Because, like I said, there was parts I was kind of worried. Is this working?
Yeah, no, I thought it was great, and I'm super excited to get to tonight and see how you guys you guys kind of caught on to what was going on there at the end last night or last week. What you do with that knowledge and how you kind of move forward from here. I'm curious to see how this goes.
I absolutely lucked into that too.
Yeah.
I was totally a shot in the dark that led us to that.
So kind of unrelated and not spoilery to that, but still tied in. So I lost my character. I had to put him back together. And for whatever reason, the fillable form I've got on my computer, it wasn't sizing the text right. So I did it by hand. And as I was going through, I saw that there were, let's call it a half dozen or so features from across the background, class, race, and whatnot that I had not included before that gave access to some stuff that you and I should probably talk about.
I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
Throw it at me.
Well, it was mostly that it was going to give me access to a handful of other spells.
Cool.
Druidcraft, Guidance.
Okay.
And Find Familiar that I can cast once per day without expending a spell slot.
Sounds great.
Okay. Do you care what familiar I have?
Don't care.
Fantastic. Will you let me use my alchemical kit to milk a poisonous snake?
Milk a poisonous snake.
Uh-huh.
Harvest venom.
Harvest venom from a poisonous snake.
Is the poisonous snake your familiar?
Yes.
Let me think about that. I mean, I don't think that that's a problem, but I think that there's going to need to be some sort of,
I do have a thought.
Not hard limitation, but some sort of, you know.
Typically, familiars take the shape of a creature you recognize. They aren't really that shape. So when you would milk the venom, once it's separated for a length of time from the snake, it would just turn to effectively ectoplasm.
I mean,
stuff from the Fey realm.
I mean, here would be my ask. One harvest per day that would allow me to apply it to a quiver's worth of crossbow bolts or one weapon would last for 10 rounds.
Okay.
It's a shit save. It's a DC 10 con save.
Oh God. Yeah. Make it 11. Give yourself a chance.
Yeah. I mean, it's a DC 10 con save, for 2d4 damage or half on save.
Okay.
Honestly, the damage is piss. It's the, you are poisoned that fucks you up.
Right.
Because I would disadvantage on attacks and saves.
It does not poison. It doesn't do it that way. It just deals poison
damage. Oh, it just does damage. Oh, yeah, okay.
It doesn't create the poisoned condition.
Yeah, the poisoned effect is, condition is, that's the meat.
Yeah.
Because poison damage is always shit. It's just getting them poisoned and getting them on disadvantage is just rock solid.
Okay, here's what I would say. I would say...
Welcome to Dungeon Talk, fucks. Folks,
I would, fucks, I would whatever. That would work, but... In an instance, and not that I think that this is going to come up because I know how we play.
Okay.
In an instance where you either harvested the venom or applied the venom greater than a 24-hour period ago, it's going to negatively impact the DC.
Oh, make it weaker. That's interesting.
Yeah, like I would say, I would agree
with a higher DC, but you have to apply it as a bonus action at the beginning of that round of combat.
I would say, like, if you got it the same day, I would even say you could have like a DC 13. But if you got it yesterday and you were applying it today, or it was still on there from yesterday, I would say then we're going to start to hit that, like, that pissy DC 10 area. And if it goes longer than that, like DC 8.
I mean, I would be fine if after the second day it just falls off entirely, but.
Okay, that's fine.
Because you're already being a little more generous than I expected.
Yeah,
It's D&D. We're not.
Listen, man. I am here to roll dice, have fun, play things. I mean, I am doing the Great Zoomer Boomer War as my fucking.
were those boomers that we fought?
No.
Oh, okay. Those are just level guardians or something.
No.
No. Did you forget who we fought, Ray?
Yes, he did. Yes,
did. Were they tiefling or drow? I forget.
No.
They were red-skinned.
That they were.
Oh, see, I missed that entirely.
Yeah, they...
red...
It's just... They were red-skinned.
When you said that, that's why I thought tiefling.
The red skin and the black suits, they were...
Yeah. Oh, the demons! Fuck!
Yes!
Diminishing. Yes.
You said redskins, I was going totally racist. I'm sorry, thinking Indians. Yeah. Or Native Americans.
Yeah, and I was going sorry. Fucking literal.
I was like football team? What?
Yeah, no. The dungeon decided
I apologize.
Not enough fuckers were dying, so they were going to start taking matters into their own hands.
Right.
It gives you folks something to look forward to this weekend.
I was thinking this week, I was like, where did we leave off? What did we do? I was totally, and then I remembered the field, and then I remembered my familiar, and I'm like, okay, I remember. But then I totally forgot about who the enemy was. Okay.
Yeah.
Oi.
I mean, is there the possibility that you're going to face off with some boomers? Absolutely.
That was just the lure to get everybody in here, right?
Well, I mean,
the veterans and the rookies.
Yes. But I mean,
play on the animosity between both factions.
Yes. And then they're, you know, in true Asmodendax fashion, they're fucking, what do we call it? Not televising, because televisions aren't there, but they are casting
scry-casting.
Yes, scry-casting.
Yeah, on all the mirrors in the Asmodendex.
Oh, I'm sure they're probably setting up some others and taking bets.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if they can get it into the pub in Dillard, I'm sure. Pay-per-view.
Yeah. Because
if nothing else, they could probably get it there on one of those handheld devices that have been
Yes.
inserted as well. The scry pads.
the tablet that he had in the one stream.
Yeah, the scribe pad.
God, I'm stupid.
Stick
around for halftime because apparently Bieber is our performer.
At Asmo's Scrypad 5.
That's
what all the kids have. So, quick question. Has anyone played Diablo over the past 36 hours?
No.
Okay. So, there's this annoying bug that they introduced with the new patch. I would recommend if you start to play Diablo before another patch is released, make sure that volume on your TV is down.
Okay.
Mm.
The screen reader is on by default.
Oh no.
And it's loud.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Not sure who thought this was a great idea. This is a bad idea, guys.
Well, so I don't know that it was a purposeful introduction, so.
I mean, it explicitly states off the bat, screen reader is on by default.
Mm.
Yeah.
Are you saying screen reader or green reader?
Green reader. As if you are a I'm assuming
visually impaired
person who needs help. Well, but yeah, I guess it would be for reading text that's on the screen, but man, it is fucking awful. It is so loud. It is out of sync with the rest of the audio in game.
Oh, so it's like three people talking.
It always annoys me
when I click on those things in the dungeon and it starts reading lore. I'm like, thank God there's a quick button to shut this up.
Oh, see, I love those.
I like hearing them, but when you hear it because you're going through the same dungeon a couple times and you keep accidentally clicking on that shit.
Wow. Well, yeah.
You know, you've heard it already.
Yeah.
Or this is your third character through the same dungeon. You know, okay, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
It's yeah, everything's neat the first time, but
yeah, it's the screen reader volume is, I mean, if they want to leave it on by default, whatever, it's pretty easy to shut off, but damn the
volume. Now the question's going to be, will it default on every patch again? Like you have to reset it off every time something else updates.
Well, see, here's the thing. I uploaded or I updated my game. I had to restart my PlayStation for a PlayStation update. And when I restarted Diablo, guess what was on by default again?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not great, guys.
This is like that situation with Snap when I kept on muting all stuff. And the music kept on turning on every time I opened the game, no matter what.
Yeah, that was annoying.
Yeah.
Right. Especially when I'm trying to, you know,
play it at work. That
quietly or, you know. Well,
in church. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
It's at my house, so it's not terrible, but
yeah. I never played with any of the sound, so.
Right.
I would hear it when the streamers played and all the little sound effects each character had, individual ones. Those were cool. But I'm like, yeah, I don't need all that.
I will say they have started changing up the music at the screens based on the season, and the past couple of seasons they've had some pretty good music. I'm not sure how I feel about this one yet, but the weird techno industrial almost metal motif that they had last month for the Black Order was pretty fucking cool.
I mean, I feel bad because somebody put that together and usually they did a good job.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to catch up on anything else I need to watch at the same time. So,
right. You remember the splash pages in Marvel Future Fight? That was fucking baller art. Those guys were awesome.
Yeah.
And you can see it for half a second or during load things, you know.
Yep.
I remember I was looking through a folder on my desktop at work the other day, and there were several like I had turned into wallpapers or I had downloaded as wallpapers. Like the one with Thanos and all of them standing there, and the X-Men one, and the one with Gwenpool on her motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there was really good art.
It's funny. Somebody actually reached out to me on Twitter the other day thinking I still played Future Fight. Because even though I haven't played the game in over a year now, my Nebula is still number two.
Wow.
I have not played in over a year. She has received a uniform and a transcendence in that time that I have not played. Jeez. And I am still number two.
Yeah, no one's fronting for the Nebula, huh?
Well, it was more about the fact that I had invested more in Nebula than
any. What was you did a Sister Grimm or something, right, Jeff? Did you like just put a bunch of resources into her?
Yeah.
Just like, hey, no one's looking at that character. Let's see how high I can get it.
Yeah.
You made it top 10, right?
I was number one for a while.
Okay.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
And then I fought with some guy over one and two, and
yeah.
Then I stopped playing.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember there was a couple characters had into the top 50, and I was like, I can do this and that, and then yeah, we all just kind of lost interest around the same time.
Yeah,
I think my Ant-Man was top five, I think, as high as I got it.
Yep. I mean, I had invested a brilliant CTP into Nebula. I had like all
you went hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got my Wolverine into the top 50.
That's right. I forgot you went balls on him. Yeah.
Because
you were getting all the, because that's when they were putting out all those fucking crazy uniforms for Phoenix Force and shit.
Yeah.
And you had to pick all that stuff up. Yeah.
Like, I know I tried on Deadpool, and then there was.
Yeah. Deadpool's way too. Two
crappier characters that I was doing. Deadpool, it was like literally the difference between me and number one was just 1,000 rerolls to get the right stats that give me the best whatever.
And it
I had everything there. It just wasn't the perfect roll. And that's what I needed.
As Chad was illustrating, it isn't even the optimal role to play the character. It was just
it's whatever gets you the most points.
The thing that could get you the most towards, which was weird, the ranking system, which
is so bad,
kind of turned me off of it, and it just made me
I'm
gonna make my Ant-Man cool, and that'll be enough.
It wasn't really played up as like, hey guys, you should be fighting other people for this.
Yeah, you didn't really get anything. You didn't get anything for it.
Right.
Well, you did when it was that character's month.
Oh, that's right. You were in that autoplay thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot about that. That's right, because you were like, everybody play it, because my Nebula's in there.
Oh, yeah. Didn't they have to change that around then, because everybody was using like suboptimal crap?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, people were just stacking characters to get them a number one, and then they'd be shit in that game mode.
Yeah.
Funny.
You got shit when your character was there. Yeah. It was kind of cool, but...
I mean, Nebula might not be that bad. The character isn't that great. There's really not a lot of good builds for her. But putting good stuff on her did make her decent.
Oh, yeah.
Well, once again, you're not going to be much worse than... I mean, if the character's already subpar compared to other characters, you're only going to be a little bit worse.
Yeah.
Like, it isn't like you have one character that's absolutely needs to be min-maxed and whatever. You're playing with usually the B-team characters anyway.
Yeah. I mean, my nebula, I was clearing over Shadowland stage 100 with her. I mean, saying something for, at the time, a level 70 character that didn't have a tier 3 or transcendence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was mostly her electric, right? Because you used her on a specific level that
type of
damage was what made the difference.
Yeah.
That was, well,
that
was,
I mean, that was 90% of Shadowlands was.
You yeah, right yeah. Level. Saving the right.
Certain the characters right were great if you had enough to reroll
right.
every level.
Yeah. I mean, my best Shadowlands runs, I routinely spent over 50 million gold rerolling stages so that I could get as far as I possibly could. Because you had to.
What was the one that you had? You had like the waves where you had to fight like the two visions and then.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That one sucks so bad.
Those were fucking
awful. Is if you got unlucky with who you had left and you had to fight those two visions, their AoE ground effect would just fuck you up.
Yeah.
It was like nowhere for you to go. And switching out to another character to get that little 15% heal was not enough. Because you'd switch somebody in so that person could heal and that guy would just die.
Yeah,
it's just
you couldn't lose anybody.
Game. That was a fun game for a phone game. That was very robust. Yeah,
it was, and I mean, I guess it's still going.
People are still playing it. Hey,
yeah. Good on them. I mean, good for
I
them.
Mean, if it was skinned any other way, it'd be hard to argue. Right. But
yeah,
there's only a few options and. Like, I played Strike Force for a little while. That's definitely not as good
as
Marvel characters.
Well, it's right. funny because if you ask people about mobile games for Marvel, they're going to tell you Puzzle Quest. They're going to tell you Strike Force. And maybe they'll say Snap because Snap is really pushing the advertising. Most of the time, no one knew about fucking Marvel Future Fight.
It was the number one. Snap was the number one game as far as money brought in, I thought. That first year it came out.
Yeah. Yep. And it was only out for like.
Well, there was beta throughout the summer. I think it was in the first. I don't remember if it was the first 12 months or if it was just for that year. But
it was the first year in beta and then the 3 months in production.
Okay.
In live, whatever. Yeah, it was.
Okay.
It was the number one game.
Went off the calendar year. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really spend money on it now, but. I spent some to get started and now, you know, I'll get the pass once a month.
Yep. That's pretty much all I'm doing.
But yeah, it's still, you can sit down, you can play. I don't have to change my deck every week because it's something stupid happened. Like I can, but for the most part, I don't need to.
I mean, I will say, I'm not super excited about this season so far.
Pixie's just a random, like it's kind of fun.
Right.
I got a deck. I didn't do it okay with it, but
who's the card?
So the season pass card is Hope Summers. She's a 3/4. When you
play, I just know her from the comic. Oh God.
Right. When you play a card into her lane, you get +1 energy next turn.
Okay.
She, if you get her early enough in the game, she is good. But if you don't have her down on turn 3, she's very mid, not great.
Well, and it's not once per turn though.
Right. Like my Hope Summers deck, my game winning.
You drop a bunch of stuff and then drop Killmonger to clear it, and then drop a bunch of stuff again.
Why would I just move
it away and then
pull
the stuff down?
Yeah,
I'm using it with Pixie, and
I don't know what Pixie is. So.
she randomizes the remaining cards in your deck. Like the cost of all the cards in your deck gets shifted. So you use the same set of cost, but it moves it, or like everything gets shifted. And then like the deck itself plays Mobius. So, or
Mobius.
And then none of the cost can end up higher than what it started at. So if you get those out, like I can play a bunch of, like I've got
expensive stuff for cheap.
Right. It's like Odin and what's his face? The Doctor Doom and a couple of other things. And then I also play like Wasp. And right. Sometimes I get a free Doctor Doom. But play, you can also play
Lockjaw to send people back in.
It's basically a Lockjaw. But okay. I can play Vision on Summer's spot if he gets cheap enough, and then it's worth extra, move him away and play something else there. Like,
I'll do Hope turn 3, and then turn 4 will be like Jeff in Silk or Nightcrawler in Silk, and just boom. Now I have a bunch of energy on turn 5, and then I Doctor Doom and something on turn 5, and then I Odin Doctor Doom on turn 6.
Right. They needed something like that, to something to really crank your energy level up, so more than one or two cards happen on, and it isn't just a bunch of little things. Get some crazy interactions.
Yeah. I mean, look, they're messing with stuff. We'll see how it all works. I don't think, because the stones don't count as starting in your deck, right? The Infinity Stones?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, they get added in that animation at the beginning.
All right, but like technically that's before you draw, so I didn't know if they
count in your deck to start. I see what you're saying.
Because obviously you can't put them in your deck.
I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for Mockingbird. She's going to be fucking great.
She's coming out this campaign, or?
Yeah. She's the final card of the season. She is a 5/9.
Okay.
And she costs one less for every card you have in play that didn't start in your deck.
Ooh.
So
she's going in every Thanos deck.
Well, not just every Thanos deck. Any deck that runs Brood. How does
Brood help? Brood adds two cards.
Yeah. Brood
to makes his location.
Yeah. Brood makes
Brood her a 3/9. Mysterio and
Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
Mr. Sinister. Okay.
Shauna. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I was thinking cards added to your deck, not cards in play when you, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. But then, like, the Shadowland Ninja, the Raptors, the Squirrels, the big 6/10 from whatever that location is, those all count too.
Giant Island or whatever.
Yeah, those all count.
Okay.
I mean, she's, even if you ran nothing in your deck that natively cut her cost, more games than not, she will have a reduced cost.
Just from locations.
Locations, Black Widow, there's enough stuff.
Play a Black Widow on me. Sure, go ahead.
The fucking goblins, because toxic decks are a thing right now.
Yeah.
I mean, discard looks fun if you can get all of the all the Black Order together. But I did not get all of them.
It's okay. I have them all.
It's only slightly better than other discard. It's still at least something new for discard.
Yeah.
Like themes.
The frustration that I have with the game right now is they have... One of the things I really enjoyed about Snap was that they weren't leaning super hard into the RNG. One of the things I hated about Hearthstone was when the game started to rely on the RNG for competitive decks.
It was okay. That was just a case to basically make them less reliable and
right.
give other people a chance, right?
Right. But that is where we're at with Snap.
Well, as soon as the card, they need to start retiring cards or combining.
I mean, well, they've completely changed the way cards work, or the text completely on some of them, to the point where I'm like picking up an old deck and I'm like, wait, why the fuck isn't this doing this anymore?
Right.
And it's like, oh, I didn't even read that they completely changed what this character does. Like, America Chavez and
yeah, I hated when they others.
Changed her. Dude, they killed her. They ruined her again. She what? Was a two. She was a 2/3. She's now a 1/2.
What's her ability?
She is
next a next card you draw is +2 power.
Yeah, she is fucking garbage.
Her original ability.
I mean, isn't she just a forge now?
Well, she's
pretty now, much, yeah.
Play.
She's now the one cost because they put Forge back at 2.
Right. Yeah, because he's too easy but to use.
Just because you draw the card doesn't mean you want to play it. So Forge at least got you the next card you play.
Right. Well, and their
choice is everything. Yeah.
They're trying to take the teeth out of Destroy without nerfing Deadpool.
Well, how do you nerf a 1/1 that you have to kill every turn?
I mean, Destroy right now is the most popular deck in the game. It's the most consistent deck in the game. It is the winningest deck in the game. It's
maybe Destroy. Not down in my crappy section of the woods where I'm. Like, I haven't been playing enough, so I was starting at like 13 when this reset. Wow.
Gotcha.
I was like at 60 a couple of months ago, and then it just got cut, and I only got not to 40 even last month, and so it cut it again. And
yeah. Destroy and discard kind of rule the roost, but it's not the discard that I enjoyed playing. I enjoyed what a lot of people call the dependable discard. You know, you used Colleen Wing and Lady Sif and MODOK.
The targeted discards. Not the, what is it? The random fuckers like Moon Knight and shit.
Not the casino shit. Yeah, not the casino shit, but now it's like you're
well, they fixed Blade. Blade was at least targetable now.
Right.
But half the time, even after his fix, the card I draw, I'm like, fuck, I don't want to lose that.
Right. So
yeah, it's like, give me him first turn when I can make a decision or.
But it's everything is about Hela right now, as far as discard goes. And that's just, that is not my kind of discard. I don't find that enjoyable.
Let me empty my hand and then bring it all back for free.
But it's a whole lot of like, you got to be super picky and selective. And sometimes like you'll just skip turns when you could play cards because no, I might get rid of Hela.
Hela every time I ever played her. The only time I was ever successful with Hela was the weekend where the dream location was higher chance. Oh, where you play and they don't reveal because you just
mention, yeah.
Yeah, you just play all your MODOK and shit in there and Hela last and
well, and, yeah, or if you can get Invisible Woman out unless she has changed, I don't know.
Nope, she still works.
But she was even that was still hard to get.
Right.
And somebody usually found a way if she was being used enough to just Enchantress her or something. And
Enchantress, Polaris,
like, Echo.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about Hela discard. That's not fun for me.
It's the deck that I pull out when the requirement is discard X amount of cards.
Yeah.
And I put it away when I'm done. So.
Like, I'm much more of a targeted discard kind of player. That's why I'm honestly kind of looking forward to next season. Because I'm going to be able to build a deck that actively, the whole goal is to just destroy my opponent's deck in hand.
What? What's this?
Baron Zemo.
Okay.
He's a 4-cost, 6-power, put into play the, lowest power card in your opponent's deck. On your side.
Okay.
So, Yondu, Gladiator, Baron Zemo,
Arnim Zola.
Nah, fuck that. Black Widow, Silver Samurai, Black Bolt. My whole goal is just going to be to get
What you pull out of their deck, Arnim Zola.
Oh, fuck yeah. I'm totally down for that.
Wait, is it lowest cost or lowest power?
He said power.
Power.
Okay. Yeah, then you could screw up some Arnim Zola decks.
Yeah, you could.
Because a lot of those only run the one guy at zero, so it would be a
you could get the Zola. You
Mr. Neg the... or Arnim Zola, your guy.
Well, I mean, that'll do it.
I mean, if you want to run a Mr. Negative Arnim Zola. Baron Zemo.
Yeah.
That's a viable Mr. Negative deck.
Well, viable is questionable, but it is a deck.
Yeah.
My most consistent deck was a Jane Jaw deck, so it was the one that I'm like, I'm frustrated, I just need 2 wins. Here you go. This is it.
Well, he costs 4 now. Which makes it slightly harder.
Yeah, that fucking ruins him. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Lockjaw costs 4.
Man, I used to love the alien dude, Leech, before they nerfed him. That used to be so fun in Lockjaw.
You're the people he hates.
Oh, I know. But like that was my spite deck when I was mad because everything wasn't going my way. I would just play entirely for spite. It's like, oh,
let's ruin
four, I've just
what is it? The only thing good about a bad mood is spreading it around.
Pretty much. Probably.
There was definitely times where I pulled out the spite deck and it was just Yondu and all the stuff that destroyed things in their deck and discarded cards from their hand and then Lockjaw to make sure that I could get off more than one on play effect.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Just unsuspecting people trying to have a nice day playing Snap. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Not my Snap.
I mean, anymore. Snap
and leave the game.
Anymore, destroy just feels that way. Like, I think what pisses me off the most is that all of the tech cards for destroy are just not helpful against other decks.
Yeah, you're building for one function and not prepared to defend it.
Right. God, like, you'll fuck up a destroy player, but God forbid they play, you know, Shuri Red Skull or something like that. Like, yeah, you fucking lose, man.
Yeah, well, the meta against destroy is just play null, right?
Yeah, but then you have a dead 6-cost card in your deck.
If you don't face it.
Right. Or you use, like, armor in Cosmo, which stop a destroy player, but sure as fuck do help out a lot of other decks.
And can fuck you up.
Yeah.
Yeah, navigating the sea of meta was where it didn't become fun for me. And there's not a fast enough collection side of it that satisfies my collector impulse. So I just,
yeah, as soon as it, I just upgraded it away. Stuff, it's yeah. like, I can't actively plan to be able to get that card. It's like, oh, I can pick up like one, maybe two chests a season, and I've got two rolls to get one of the four cards. And if I don't get the one that I want, it's like they've also nerfed how quickly you can pick up collector's tokens. So,
yeah.
Or even gold.
Yeah. They should just remove collector's tokens if they're not going to fucking have them.
No, they sell them.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course they do.
That's why they're never getting removed, because they still sell them.
Yeah, it is. The game is crack when you boil it down.
I mean, there's a lot of things I like about the game, but there are a lot of choices that they've made.
I like the play style. I don't like the card management governing collection side of it. I like the 12 card deck build towards a design, or just throw in fat cards you want to see happen and have a good time. But once, like most things, when you try to monetize something fun and you ruin it, and the only way to monetize it is to put the brakes on people and make them pay to skip ahead.
I mean, they released a new variant album collection last week.
Yeah, that's where they...
Well, they're going to start doing there'll be three this month coming out.
Right. The one last week has people just fucking furious.
Are they all 1200s?
Well, it was Art Germ.
Sure.
So yes, except...
Those are pretty beautiful cards.
The one Art Germ in the collection is actually the ultimate variant for the card.
So it's the 5,000?
Yeah, it's a 5,000 token variant.
Wow.
Yeah. People are pissed.
Well, luckily, the collection completed thing is usually like a pick your icon, your profile icon.
Right.
So I feel less bad.
Yeah, it's
because there were a couple of them. I'm like, well, I need two more of these to complete it, but I don't care about the icon because I just use a blank one. So
yeah, it's just vanity.
I mean, there's probably some that I'm gonna want, and I'm eventually gonna get like the Cosmo one, but I can wait.
I don't think I will ever put on another avatar.
I don't have a title or an avatar right now. Like, I went back to default and I just don't care.
I had slowly decomposing or rapidly decomposing, and I had the avatar was the Spider-Verse Spider-Man. And I was happy with that forever.
I mean, I did enjoy the, popping on the Reddit and seeing the combinations of stuff people were playing against. Because, people made some pretty good jokes between the name and the character and the title.
Yeah.
But that's fewer and far between right now than it used to be.
Yeah. That's my current...
I just heard all the good ones. I don't know.
That's my current avatar title and whatnot that I use by default.
What's that?
Is that Legion?
Yeah. Baby Legion. Scotty Young.
The hair gives it away.
Yeah. Baby Legion, Ego Take the Wheel, and the Infinity Border Guardians of the Galaxy deck back.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see my own deck back, so I don't care that much.
You see it every time you play.
I guess the deck itself.
When you play a card, it's the deck back until it flips.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah, then I guess I just don't care.
I was just calling bullshit on you. Don't see it.
No, I yeah, it's true, I guess I don't really look at that.
Yeah.
Well, no.
No, it's not something you trade. It's like,
well, briefly, because when you play it, it still shows it, and then it goes away for a couple of seconds before it plays.
Yeah. As in the play reveal part, because you get to see your character the whole time. And then when they're flipping, does it? But, it's just like Future Fight. You know, I did not trade on the, 100 levels of Shadowland or getting this world boss perfect or what. I just wanted to collect the stuff. You know, it's just, I want to see him. I want to be able to make it walk around. That was it. And Future Fight had me at it, Snap had me there for a little while, but
I just
got a lot more drawing done without it on my iPad.
I'm not going to do anything other than the Battle Pass, and I'm not doing the premium one or anything like that because I'm fine hitting just like 52 for the month and calling it a day. Like,
right?
I don't need to go to 100. Plus where I was for a while there.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you the last time I broke 80, and I played.
Like, I hurried up and played a bunch of the the little side one that has the store.
Conquest.
I did a bunch of that just to get the card last week. I guess Monday.
Yeah.
Because they keep giving you a couple of tickets here and there, so I was just like, you know what, I don't even care. I'll run through it and see if I can pick up a couple of wins.
I was going in there and starting a game and forfeiting just to get the 75 tokens so I could buy the thing they basically give to you.
I was going to, but since it was the last full day, I was like, maybe somebody else will do that and then I'll get it. Because I did actually need the extra. I needed a couple of wins so that I wasn't wasting so much time.
Yeah.
You see that.
But I got it. And then I can close the game.
Well, on a more cheerful side, did you see that? I forget what state it was. They were talking about child support for unborn children. Kentucky.
Yeah.
Walking.
Well, kind of. Their thing was you can request child support within the first year of the kid's life for pregnancy costs.
Yeah.
Like anything that has to do with before the kid is born or the labor, delivery, whatever cost, you can sue for child support. But if you wait till a year and a day to get it done, then you can't. Or if you don't file for child support until the kid's five, you've missed your window for that. So... I don't know. It's fair. It's limited. Like, you got to get it in there ahead of time. So, I guess, not terrible.
There was another one I saw.
But there are certain states where you can now get your tax exemptions for unborn children.
There's another one I saw. Something about... making it ill, saying that it's okay for employers to say you can't eat other than during.
Oh, that's also Kentucky.
Unpaid.
The amount of meal breaks that you get.
Yeah. I'm like, who are these fucking congressmen working for? Are they just working for corporations? Are they just.
Where have you been?
No, I mean. How
they're actively flaunting it more. They were always just working for the corporations, but now they are actively flaunting it more.
Yep.
Because they know they are immune from consequence. Like, I saw this, it was posted on Twitter today because they started interviewing Nikki Haley voters to say, like, oh, well, now that she sucks, who are you going to vote for? And somebody was like,
Biden.
Trump was terrible. And I think he's gonna do another January 6th if he doesn't win or whatever. And like, I think he'll try and overthrow the government, whatever. But Biden's also bad, so I'm going to vote for Trump. Like, three sentences saying, like, he'll kill democracy. It'll be the end of the world. But boo Biden, so I'll vote for it.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's like, this is the mental gymnastics that these people are going through.
The government
just so has, they don't ever have to vote Democrat.
The government and the media have effectively perfected the spy versus spy philosophy of our politics. Doesn't matter if it blows us up, even if it blows us up, as long as my color wins.
Yeah.
Or as long as both lose.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they'll lose just to own the libs. He's like, yeah, you can't afford to live, but at least you can't either. Take that.
Yeah.
Look, all I'm saying is spay and neuter your Republicans.
Oh, Jesus, man.
It's too early, man. Like,
man.
It's never too early to have responsible breeding practices.
No, it's too early to end the show.
Yeah. Oh, no. Okay.
I'll save that for the last solution.
Wow.
First solution is always rusty nails inside of.
No.
Oh my God. I guess if you guys want to be done.
No.
Chad's prepared to go extra long tonight?
Not really.
All right. Well. Then we're going to have to keep talking.
It's probably time for media roundup.
Probably.
Anybody watch Avatar?
The only thing I can think of. Didn't we talk about this all last week?
But people hadn't watched it.
I have not watched Avatar yet.
Yeah, we finished Avatar, and the wife is now actively watching the cartoon with us. So,
yeah,
wow,
she's enjoyed it.
It's. I was talking about it at work, the other day, and one of the guys I work with had finished it, and he was like, "I see what they're saying about this and that," and I go, "Here's the thing: all the people that are bitching about the live action are bitching about something that's missing from the show." Well, I watched the show. I watched all the cartoon. I've watched it several times. When I watch the live action, if it isn't in there, I'm inserting it into the subtext. Right.
Or it could still technically happen.
It is there. I might not see it, but that's how this character gets from this A to Z that you're saying they went too fast. I'm filling in the blanks.
Well, because... The whole Earth Kingdom was kind of season two, and they just threw it into this. So
what was? I mean,
like, most of the Earth Kingdom stuff was like season two, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, there was some. Well, Iroh getting captured was season one because that happened the same time as the burnt down forest. But Omashu.
Yep,
that was the end of season one.
That was. I thought that was like the first because
that was the last two episodes of season one.
Okay, because a blind bandit was like episode four, that was after they got through Omashu and talked to Bumi, and he retook his city and all that shit.
Right, because Bumi wasn't. Was Bumi in season one? I don't think.
Yep.
No. Was he?
Yeah.
No, because we're just started season two cartoon, and they still haven't freed Bumi.
Yeah.
Well, they're riding him like a surfboard, but that was like eight episodes into season two.
Yeah, but in the first season, they visit Omashu, and that's when he has the test. He's constantly asking Aang all these questions to try to trick him because he doesn't think it's really Aang. and then he fights him at the end of it, just like in the live action.
That was right. Season one. Okay.
That was that's when you meet the cabbage vendor.
Right. No, right. I knew that. But the problem was we started season two, like we just started at the start of season two after watching live action, so I didn't go back and rewatch season one again
before
I started this most recent.
Because
I watched all four all the way through a couple years ago. And then last year on vacation, we watched like two of the seasons at the vacation house. And so I've watched parts of stuff out of order, I think. And I'm just trying to piece it all together. Because his sister doesn't really come in season
two. No. His sister doesn't show up until the last episode of season one. There's a...
Maybe the last two for the... Isn't she doing Omashu stuff or...
Nope.
No, she's... It's the last episode. Iroh's a traitor, and your brother's a failure, and it's Ozai in shadow because we still don't see his face, and then it just close up on her, like she's like kneeling down in the floor before him, and like raises her face all menacing, and then the beginning of season two is when she's on that ship and doing the lightning ritual that she did in a live action, and then her hair's out of place, and then she tries to lure Iroh and Zuko onto the ship to come home, and then they figure out she's
right,
try and kill him or whatever, so they run away.
He says, "Well, we're taking the prisoners aboard," and then they didn't realize they were prisoners, and they fight their way out.
Yeah, because
that's like two episodes into season two.
Yeah, that's when
Shows up in the finale of one, and then she doesn't do anything until two.
Yeah,
and then,
they trying to change, I think, her story a bit.
Okay,
they're making her be the favored child, and Zuko the motivator, rather than Zuko being the favorite child that disappointed and her being the motivator.
Well, I think Zuko was appropriately shown to be the favored child and then fell out of favor. I don't think they went that deep into it in the live action, but I don't remember how much of that came from later seasons as well. Because his whole story was a lot of flashbacks.
Yeah. And that Agni Kai where he gets his scar was fucking brutal compared to the cartoon.
Yeah.
Because he just basically held him down and microwaved his face.
Was the unit, like where they tell the unit, that was part of the cartoon as well, right?
That wasn't in the cartoon.
Okay.
They expanded upon that because Iroh tells the people on the ship his story, and they kind of come to respect him because of what he sacrificed to be there. They didn't think he cared about them at all. Proves that he does. But in the...
Because he's a much whinier character in the cartoon.
He is. And people bitch about that. I'm like... That you need that. You need him to be the
if you don't know if you're gonna child have
in the first season, or his redemption arc means nothing.
Right. If you don't know if you're gonna have four full seasons to tell the story, you can't go as whiny because you don't have as much time to pull it back if you get dropped out of like three seasons.
Yeah.
So I get it. But also, somebody coming in brand new may hate him more coming up and not care as much about the redemption arc if they don't have any of that information beforehand.
So,
I don't know.
Is the full first season out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was all released day one. I don't think it's Netflix. They don't.
Yeah, it was all day one. I came home at 4 and let it play till it was over.
Yeah. Okay.
So...
There's only 4 episodes, or 8 episodes, but they're an hour long.
Right.
Yeah.
So am I going to be okay with the ending of season one?
Did you like the original? No, it's not. It's Northern Water Tribe.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
There's a flashback to Omashu being sacked.
Yes. I confused the name.
Yeah. The Northern. You like the ending of the cartoon of season one?
It's the ocean spirit.
It's very similar. The moon. There's a few changes. They kind of expanded Yue's character a bit, which is really kind of cool. They actually gave her a purpose. She's like the spiritual leader of the Northern Water Tribe.
Cool.
So. I will say this.
Talking about
talking about Iroh going ham on people and threatening Zhao. Yeah, Zhao was a piece of shit in this though, where he was like kind of this calculating monster in the cartoon. He's a conniving bootlicker. I wouldn't call him bootlicker. He's definitely climbing the ladder and stepping on anyone it takes to get up it. Okay. So, a different kind of asshole. But I will say one thing. The bending looks cool. I'm not knocking any of the special effects, but I dare say they spent half the budget on Ko, because Ko looked fucking awesome.
Cool.
The face stealer spirit.
Yeah.
Fucking thing. Yeah.
It looked so fucking cool. Oh my god, it looks perfect.
Yeah, and they did do a good job on that.
Haibei, the panda spirit from the forest.
Yeah.
Which always just looked like a Cloverfield monster to me.
Yeah.
It looks exactly like it did in the cartoon, but it's not as rewarding as Ko. Ko is just fucking awesome looking.
Okay. Like Secret Tunnel wasn't in season one; it was in season two.
Correct. I think
they had that.
Yeah, Secret Tunnel is then
because that one,
because that's when they meet the Badger Moles.
Yep.
Which then leads into
Earthbending.
Toph's story.
Right.
And the Badger Moles, the Lost, and all that shit.
Right.
How she and learned
this way? That's just how they get to Boomy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's how they get into the city, because they have to.
Yeah.
Well, in the cartoon, they get harassed going into the city, but they get into the city. In the live action, they're not letting people into the city, so they have to sneak into the city, don't they?
Right.
And they moved where Jet is in the first season.
Okay.
But I think they actually did him better. I kind of like him in this.
Like the fangirls, they were in season one, but they didn't do much. They came back like season three or something.
The Kyoshi Warriors.
Yeah,
they were the second episode or second or third episode of the cartoon. Yeah.
Okay,
but
they come back in later seasons still.
It's very much the same story because they. The way her mom wants her to stay and protect, and we've always been very isolated and independent of the war. It doesn't touch us much because we don't fuck with it. That's very much the story in the cartoon. And then after they meet Aang, and Aang comes there, and the Fire Nation comes after him, and they have their little encounter, the Kyoshi Warriors leave. Now, this all happens outside of... our knowledge, but I think they actually, there's a scene where it's when Appa is lost or trying to find his way back, where Azula, Mei, and Ty Lee are like chasing Appa, and he actually crosses paths with the Kyoshi Warriors, and then the Kyoshi Warriors fight with Azula and them, and Appa gets away and actually makes his way back to Ba Sing Se. And then that's why Suki is in the Burning Rock later, because Azula captured her and put her in prison.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Kind of. Yeah, I remember because Appa gets
a lot of that happens away from the main characters, and then as we cross, they kind of give a little explanation where they've been and how they got there.
Well, because I just watched the part of season two where the, you know, Cajun hillbillies are attacking Appa. And
the swamp vendors. Swamp people.
Yeah, they're fucking awesome.
The sand people are the cunts. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
They're the assholes. Like who season steal three or them. Something. That's season two. That's when they're headed towards Ba Sing Se when they get lost in the desert.
Oh, was that
they find the library. Yeah, that all happens before they get to the Earth King. Season two ends with the Earth King being captured by Azula. And Zuko betraying Iroh. Iroh ends up in prison, and then he becomes super prison jacked and breaks out in season three.
Are you sure?
Absolutely sure.
They were just...
Season two ends with the big battle underneath the Earth Kingdom's castle, basically. Where Azula hits Aang with the lightning bolt and Katara heals him with the oasis water. That's where it ends. And then he's asleep until the beginning of season three. And he wakes up and he has hair. Remember he freaks out about it?
Okay.
And that's when he has the scar on his back and his foot from where the lightning went through him. Yeah, that's it. Season two ends just the way Empire Strike Back ends. The bad guys are on their back foot. The good guys have just gained a bunch of ground. Or the bad guys have just gained a bunch of ground, and the good guys are on the ropes and seemingly lost somebody. But then season two starts, the person they thought they lost comes back stronger, and, you know.
So they've got.
They're determined.
They're talking to Boomy like three or four times then.
Yeah, they talk to Boomy in season one and in season two when they go and they go back to Omashu because he needs an earth bending master to teach him. And he thinks Boomy is the one. And that's when Boomy tells him he needs somebody who waits and listens. And that's right. And then in the swamp, he sees a vision of Toph. And then he finds her in season four or something like that.
Wait,
right after the swamp, they come back and ride Boomy through the slide area.
That's
in the cartoon. That's what threw me off because we were at that spot where they were.
That's after Boomy he meets the child. Toph? That's before he meets Toph, though, right?
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Boomy shows up in season three with the White Lotus people.
Okay.
Because all old people know each other.
So are you telling me that in your weird Avatar Star Wars analogy that Toph is Yoda?
Pretty much, yeah. She's short and blind instead of old. And doesn't take shit from people who think they are weak. You didn't see her as Yoda?
No, I never saw her as Yoda.
Yeah. The only difference is Iroh, Ben, doesn't die. And he's working with Vader.
Zuko is kind of like a whiny little Luke Skywalker type, but
yeah,
he's not really
meant. But to he's also either,
so
no, he's kind of the Vader because he is the one who's redeemed in the end. But and that makes the Phoenix Emperor, you know, the Emperor, the Phoenix King. Sorry, Ozai. Yeah, it's very much Star Wars. I mean,
well,
I hope it didn't ruin Avatar for you, but you know, it's a three-act story. And
well, isn't it four? I mean,
no, there's only three seasons. Water, Earth, and Fire.
Korra. I don't know why I thought there was four seasons.
Korra's season four.
Oh, the Legend of Korra.
Yeah. Which, in my mind, moved too fast into a different type of story. It went too fast into steampunk. I wanted more Aang's time and age. You know, his before machines and too many, all the technology and stuff. It didn't feel fantasy anymore. I mean, the Northern Water Tribe is absolutely the battle at the Death Star.
The fight
in Ba Sing Se is Cloud City all over again. Luke loses his arm and gets hit by lightning. And then you have the end, which is two battles fought on two different places. That come to the same result or for the same effort. I've ruined Avatar for you, haven't I?
But I mean,
so many
Star
people,
Wars was so taken many stories, from other stuff, so,
yeah, I mean, so many stories out there and so many new things. It's just Avatar did it in such an original way, and the rest of the world was so perfect that you didn't notice this at all.
It's not that. I'm struggling with your.
It's not a one to one thing. It's a
you're tough as Yoda.
Well, that's your choice. But she did complete his training.
Iroh is Yoda.
Well, if you flipped it around, Iroh would be Yoda to Zuko's Skywalker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if it was
is a Yoda figure.
The Book of Zuko, then you'd be fine.
I mean, is it not?
Yeah. It's not, like I said, it's not a one for one thing.
The nice thing is enough people got enough stories that you felt like it was well done.
Yeah.
I mean, because it wasn't just Aang. Like, Aang was there, but Aang was there to tell everyone else's story as well. And yeah, they did a good job of it, so it doesn't feel bad. It doesn't feel like Harry Potter,
Star Wars too. It's just the first book, the first three books, you know, are the first book, you know, kind of thing. You go up until their first big victory, which is, you know, whatever, and then Goblet of Fire is kind of their first big loss. You know, when Cedric dies and the Voldemort comes back. I mean, it's you can put it on that arc if you just, you know, win, loss, resolution.
I mean, Cedric died, came back as a vampire.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is just Greek epics.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the same.
Star Wars is the most obvious comparison because the most people have seen it. So
yeah, it's an easy thing to remember, and it's honestly compared to Avatar, kind of simple in its progression. You follow one group through the whole fucking thing, whereas in Avatar you have two, like a bisected group. And sometimes they conflict with each other until they actually come together.
There's not a lot of nuance in Star Wars.
Yeah.
It was like, these guys are always good despite what they do, and these guys are always bad.
I mean, Zuko does some horrible shit in the first season. I mean, he treats some people fucking horribly. And the second season, he isn't much better. He's kind of, first part of the second season, he's kind of an asshole. When they're traveling to Ba Sing Se, before he gets to Ba Sing Se and Iroh opens a tea shop, he's just an asshole. But once, basically, he gets kind of a quiet life started, he starts to appreciate there's more to it than, you know, his father's plan.
Okay.
He kind of respects Iroh's choices. I did
a good job with the casting on a lot of these people, though. I will say
that.
Like,
I didn't realize until someone mentioned it that Iroh is the guy from Mandalorian, X-Wing which pilot.
Is even funnier. Yeah.
I'm like, oh shit, he is.
And I also knew it because he's like, awesome. It's like Kim's Convenience because Netflix always shows me that. But
he's not that guy. He looks like him.
No, he is.
It is the guy? Oh shit.
Yeah. The Kim's Convenience guy is the pilot in Mandalorian and
Iroh. Wow. Iroh,
so Netflix likes to reuse actors if they're kind of making their own stuff. They keep track of people they liked in other stuff. So you'll see him show up a few times if there's an actor Netflix likes. He did fantastic with it. The only way I can think of is like they found a nice flat faced kid to play Sokka. Cause like his face is kinda shape in the cartoon.
That and like nose is hilarious to me. I don't know, it looks like a freaking plate coming off of his face.
Right. But the fact that they found somebody that had that weird look to him.
Yeah, boyish but mature. Yeah.
Right. But also, like, there's a lot of real estate on that face, not occupied by features.
Jesus, are you saying he has fetal alcohol syndrome?
No, he's got like I don't know if it's technically moon faced, but like, it's, you know, he's got a larger forehead and wider cheeks. It's not a bad, it's just a unique look. Like, nobody would say he looks bad, but he very much, like, there's a head shape that I didn't think they could replicate as well as they did.
It was weird, because when I saw the casting for some of the characters, I was like, oh, that person doesn't look. And honestly, once you start watching the show and things start moving and characters start interacting, you're like, you know what, I like the person they chose for Katara. Yeah.
I really like the Aang that they chose.
Yeah, the kid that plays Aang is excellent.
I'm sorry, it's Aang?
No, it is not.
No, you're wrong.
You're wrong.
Or you're Rang? I don't know.
They did as well as
I think they could have done.
Yeah.
With all the material and the constraints.
I really wanted to go see Dune this weekend, but I did not make it out.
I'm debating. I don't know how quickly it's going to be on demand and on.
Yeah. I mean, I watched I watched the first one at my friend's. He had it. It was on HBO. So it was like, oh, sure.
I definitely have to rewatch it because I watched it when it first came out, and that was almost 3 years ago now.
I've watched it a couple times, but I'm familiar with the story enough that.
Oh yeah,
I just need to remember where it ended, and then I'm good.
I read the book once, and then I listened to the audiobook because it was nice to be able to get all the pronunciations correct without having to guess how this was supposed to sound. And
somebody was asking me at work, I think, if Lady Jessica was supposed to kill Paul, or whether or not she could control whether or not she's having a boy or a girl. And I'm like, I think the Bene Gesserit are able to control whether or not they have a boy or a girl.
Yeah, she wasn't supposed to have a boy.
No, she wasn't, because he was supposed to be a girl and was supposed to marry Fade. And it's just weird because Lady Jessica is the granddaughter of Baron Harkonnen, which would have been just fucking strange. But yeah, there's a lot of weird things in Dune.
Yeah, but everyone that I've seen review that was like not professional reviewers, just people that like Dune or people that you know, watch the first one and then watch the second one, they hit it out of the park apparently. So I've heard nothing but good reviews so far from the couple of people I cared to listen to that were Dune fans.
Yeah. And so and we'll see. Very much like I said with Avatar. I am familiar and love the story. So whatever they miss or whatever they skip over that
right.
you desperately wanted inserted in there, I'm going to insert it myself.
Well, then they also said that like 2 picks up right where 1 left off. Like there's no...
Yeah, they should be right there.
On the last episode of Dune.
Right there in that crag, and they go right down into one of the Fremen fiefs.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to have to go rewatch 1. I might try and go see it Sunday morning. I might have to go there to watch it.
Yeah. I only watched.
My wife does not care.
I only watched 1 movie this weekend.
Yeah, my wife doesn't give a shit about it either.
I watched Spaceman.
Oh, that did come out Friday.
It did. It did.
Spaceman.
It is. Good? Yes, it is. Okay. It is. Okay, so I was under the impression from what I had seen and heard and read. This was a serious Adam Sandler movie. And like everybody was like, oh yeah, this is like Uncut Gems 2 kind of performance thing.
I mean, it looked like there was already a month. I don't remember how much of the trailer there was that I saw, but I do like the still looks like there's a kind of cartoony monster coming. So I don't remember.
There is something.
Sure.
I'm not going to say what it is because I'll be honest. I watched the film.
Is it on Netflix or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to deal with Netflix for so many movies.
Yeah. Yeah. I've enjoyed every one I've seen.
I know. I don't even care anymore if it's Adam Sandler. I mean, I keep meaning to watch Uncut Gems. I know it's good. I just haven't watched it.
Yeah. I haven't watched that one or the basketball one. So
I fucking hated Uncut Gems.
Okay. It's very much been a polarizing hated or loved it is what I've been hearing.
Yeah.
I did watch the basketball one. I enjoyed that because they got actual basketball players in a bunch of spots to play.
They did.
So they did a good job with it.
This is not Uncut Gems. This is more what was it called? Punch Drunk Love.
Okay.
Okay.
Like it's that kind of serious Sandler role. It's a good flick. I have lots of questions. I'm probably going to rewatch it. I think you're supposed to, coming out of the movie, have questions. But I don't want to ask those questions if you haven't seen it, because I don't want to influence your viewing experience. Very, very, interesting. There is some science stuff that you are going to have to just, if you know the science, you're just gonna have to be like, yep. Okay. This is a movie. This is their story.
That's how they're doing it. Yeah.
Right. Right. You would never
say they did the math and it all balances for them.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You're already going off of. Like, we're assuming we're far enough in the future for this to work.
We're not that far out from being able to do this.
What is the premise?
There is this weird dust, weird like thing that appears past Jupiter, and it is visible from the ground on Earth, and we are sending, there is a race to get people there to see what it is.
Okay.
We could technically do that now, not quite as fast as what they are claiming that they're able to do it in the movie. So it is, there is some technological leap. But it's not big.
Like, would it be a manned flight to Jupiter? Is what you're saying?
Yes, yes. Adam Sandler is the manned flight to Jupiter.
Right, but in real life, we're not that far off of that?
No, we're not that far away from that. I mean, we could do it now. It just...
They're never coming back.
Just won't come back.
No, they could come back. It's just going to take a while. It's going to take a long time. They're doing.
We don't have that ship. We don't have that ship. They can live on that long.
Well, I mean, it's more of, it's very practical. The ship is very practical. Like the first ship that we would send on a Jupiter mission, a manned Jupiter mission, probably not going to be a whole lot different than what he's on.
It's more probably be similar to what you saw in The Martian. That. Ring that simulates gravity so they can actually function?
No.
Well, that's if you had a bunch of people, you would have to worry about that.
I mean, that will not be our first manned mission to Jupiter. That's no.
Okay.
No, this is, but it's more about the fact that they're saying that they can get him there in 6 months. Like that, no. We are not that. We are not to Mars in 6 months yet, let alone Jupiter in 6 months.
Jupiter's
a lot farther away.
Well,
not quite double, but
it's past the asteroid belt, right?
Correct. You are going to have to go through.
Is it Jupiter then Saturn or Saturn and Jupiter? I can't remember.
Jupiter.
Jupiter, okay.
Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter.
Okay. Having a trusting my memory kind of thing.
Yeah, it's there's some leaps that they have to take. There's some real world communication, like real time communication that they're able to engage in that's a little weird, like things like that. But it's in the grand scheme of things, those didn't detract. You just have to be like, oh, okay, well, we're not that far in the future, but we're far enough that we've cleared some hurdles, clearly. But there's just, it is not the other thing to keep in mind. This is not a sci-fi movie. It is a sci-fi setting, but it is not a sci-fi movie.
It's a social experiment, movie.
No, this is a human interaction drama.
Okay.
This is very much
Contact.
No, this more grounded than Contact.
Okay.
This is very much about Adam Sandler's character and his life.
Interesting.
So I enjoyed the movie. A lot of questions. Lot in not like science questions, like what did that mean kind of questions. Truly enjoyed it though.
Yeah, definitely gonna get around to watching it. I mean
I enjoyed it enough that I'm going to watch it again to get the question to answer the questions myself, kind of thing.
Okay. So does anybody have Apple TV?
No.
Okay. I've been watching some of their original programs, but it doesn't seem like enough people have Apple TV to care for the most part.
Waiting for it to get absorbed by something else.
Huh?
Waiting for it to get absorbed by something else.
Oh. Well, I have it because that's where the MLS passes. It's on Apple TV. And so, effectively.
Of course it is.
No. They're the only people that wanted to pay the money for it. I get it free with my season pass or my season tickets. I just have to get Apple to go with it. I got Apple to watch a couple of other things too, but like you ever pick it up for a month, there's probably 15, 20 pretty good series on there that are worth watching.
Did Resident Alien season 3 start?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, they've been promoting that pretty hard the last 2 weeks.
I'm going to miss it.
It's interesting.
I forget how season 2 ended, so.
Season 2 ended with the kid on the ship with Harry as Harry was leaving to go home.
No, that was season 1.
No, that was season 2 as well.
Again?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, you said as well, like it was definitely happened twice and not just your mission.
Oh, I know the first time he crashes in the baseball field and then he dissolves his ship and he doesn't have a ship. So how does he leave again?
The Grays?
Oh, I remember they like froze time, and I remember he went to New York to and learned that it was him all along.
Uh-huh. Turtles all the way down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to finish watching season two.
Or maybe I'm not remembering
the entire. Got distracted, I think.
I don't think he's on a ship with a kid in the second season. That seems like a trope they already went to.
I'm fairly confident he's on a ship at the end of season two again. I could be wrong. I'm fairly confident he's on a ship at the end of season two.
I thought he started right off in the car with the ladies.
That's right.
Then the Grays freeze time, take him up to their ship. They tell him something consequential and then put him back and he's ready to peace out.
And that's when he learns that the one guy is the tracker's son.
Yes.
Working for the Grays. I forget who it was. It the other doctor?
No.
No. The other doctors who he frames to be the alien. That's right.
Right.
I forget who the Gray mole is.
I mean, in season three, he's a deputy sheriff.
Oh, has he changed shapes? Oh, okay.
No, he doesn't change shapes. He gets a job as the deputy sheriff.
Oh, okay. They call me Big Black. Oh, because of your truck.
No, he's not the sheriff.
But I love that character. He's just so fucking stupid.
That character.
But damn, he can sing. That scene when they come in and they do karaoke, I'm like, fuck that dude. I hope that's his voice because that's awesome.
That guy actually ends up having a romantic tryst in season three.
Oh.
Yeah. That was super weird.
Okay.
Because it's
with Harry?
No. That would have been more expected.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's Darcy. Is his name Darcy?
Darcy is the bartender girl, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Her friend at the bar.
The trashy hoe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck!
No, she was like on him in season two, like bugging him, and he was just like, yeah, whatever. And then the deputy girl was like, oh, what? Why fight it? Or why not give it a chance?
Uh-huh.
Oh, shit. That's funny.
Uh-huh. It's great. It's hilarious. I
just love that the nurse, his bestie,
Asta.
Her last name is 12 Trees. I just love that. I love Native American last names when they just, I don't know. This seems so cool.
I am a big fan of Sarah Tomko. I am super excited that they are giving her all the roles, all the screen time. She's freaking awesome.
Yeah, she kicks ass. When he first walks in and she doesn't smell right. And then she wakes up. She's not the dead body in the first episode. There's so many things in that show to just fucking crack me up. His monologues or little voiceovers are, you miss some of the actual story because he cracks you up so much with that shit.
Yep.
Oh god.
Yeah, I have to
chase it. See if it's on demand Sci-Fi Network or something.
Should be.
Fuck. My computer went to sleep. Wake up, you bastards. Oh, that's almost, it's almost 10.
It is, yeah. So
yeah, we're going long. Check us out.
Hey, we did it.
Indeed, we did. And much like the show, we're out of this world.
Yeah, we are.